Hello, hello.
Hi, Tiffany. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I'm feeling good over here.
Are you? Are you feeling good because we've sprung ahead? It's daylight savings time.
Uh-oh. Maybe that's why I showed up late.
We have sprung ahead.
Yeah.
It's official.
I'm just going to sleep late and move all my appointments.
Yeah? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah. Okay. Can't get up early. You kidding?
I'm excited.
Yeah?
Listen, that means it's official. Outside season
really
has started.
It's coming.
It started for me already. I'm telling you right now. I'm trying to set y'all's expectation on what I'm bringing this spring and summer.
My.
Yeah.
Tiffany.
And this is not a normal...
Hold on. Can you give us a little preview?
A little preview. I'm just saying, I am buying tickets, booking flights for frivolous things at this point. That's how outside I'm looking forward. I need this moment.
You going on tour?
I'm going on tour.
Wow.
I am going on tour. Y'all going to see me. You're not really. You're not. Y'all aren't going
to
see me.
Coming to a city near you.
But I'm going on tour.
Yeah.
You invite me to anything, I'm likely going to be there.
Yo, I got my uncle's nephew's grandson's bar mitzvah.
I'm there
in Cleveland,
and I got a new outfit on. I'm there for all the things.
You're showing up on time, staying late,
showing up on time in a formal dress.
Yeah,
excited.
Yo, that's so funny. You know why I'm excited, Tiffany?
Why are you excited?
Yo, we spoke to a listener this week that really just warmed my heart.
Oh yeah, that's a fact.
He was like, you know, my girlfriend and I were thinking about getting married. We listened to every episode.
That makes us feel warm and fuzzy.
Like, really?
That matters.
Like, y'all could be like going out to nice dinners and movies. I guess this is.
And these were young people.
I know.
Like, you know, so to know that, like, I know the older people listen to us. Yeah. Shout out to y'all. But like, this was like 20s, in their 20s.
And can I brag on my man real quick?
Go for it.
My man had his retirement savings working.
Mm-hmm. Emergency savings.
He had a brokerage account set up.
He had multiple things happening.
He's about to buy a house.
There you go.
I'm like, man, we're blessing some people's ears. That's all I'm saying.
And yeah, I think he would have had those things regardless of us. No, that's a fact. Like, he's been doing this for longer than we've had the podcast. So it's definitely more him than it is us.
Yeah. But he wouldn't be doing it with as much gusto.
Oh, sure. Okay. Take responsibility for the momentum.
Yeah, I will. And okay. He did say that we were the wind beneath his wings.
He never said that.
All right.
He never said that.
I made that part up. But I'm just saying, I felt good to know that somebody out there is listening.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, the listener, as does Tiffany.
For sure. And I'm just generally feeling good. I feel like our last week's podcast, I feel like it helped a lot of people.
Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Russia situation.
I just loved how you're the queen of analogies.
Because I just see things
last week with the
from a different
with the ex that is just acting up.
Listen, I think it just helps bring it home.
And the ex is still really acting up this week, by the way.
Listen, because that's how exes do. You haven't been in these toxic situations. They ain't just gonna leave. You gotta leave and come back. Keep calling the phone, sending crazy text messages in your email, driving by the crib.
Wow.
All types of stuff. It's gonna be rocky.
Well, I think Ukraine needs a restraining order at this point.
Word.
Yeah, it's just getting out of control.
But you know, and it's caused an issue in our gas situation.
Yeah, it really did. And also, I think it's sad they bombed a maternal hospital the other day.
Listen, I'm not even gonna. There's no way to wrap our heads around.
That is not right.
What they're doing. So that's not even our job. But
what is our job?
What is our job is to educate our listeners for them to have a good time and learn about things that focus around their wealth, their personal finance, and potentially entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. And today our job is to talk about retirement.
That is what we're going to talk about today. Retirement.
Believe it or not, we spent a year dancing around this subject.
We have not.
We've teased around this subject.
First of all, it's only March, the year. And we haven't danced around it.
We've been on air for over a year. And we have not done this show yet.
We have not done this particular show.
This has been the elephant in the room the entire time.
It's never been an elephant in any room. No one's thinking about it. Let me tell you, we didn't think about any parts of this show until yesterday. So it hasn't been the elephant in anybody's room.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it because we think it's relevant. And it is a bigger conversation because oftentimes I feel like most people, I'm going to say it's 50-50 because we have people who are highly focused on retirement and they have a plan in place and they are trying to get it done. And then we have other people who are like, listen, I'm never going to be able to retire or I don't know what that looks like. And first, we just have to acknowledge the fact that retirement looks different for every single body. My hope is that every person listening retires at some point in your particular way.
Your own special way. And it may not be sitting on the beach.
Facts.
And it may not be sitting on the beach.
Word.
We find that for a lot of folks, they retire and they don't make it 6 months with the retirement that they thought they were going to have.
Yeah, because they think like retirement is just not working ever again and just sitting watching TV.
Yeah, and Family Feud gets old after a while.
Right, Law and Order, I know they're making new episodes still.
Oh, they did bring back New York Undercover. That's an incentive.
That is a thing.
In the heat of the night, I mean, you get tired of it after
first,
a while.
You sure don't. That's what you don't do. You're not tired of In the Heat of the Night.
They're not making any more Touched by an Angel. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, they are. I already told you that they are. We already talked about this. With Jill Scott.
No, I mean, the old ones that you love.
But the new one. We could remake it.
Yeah.
And get New York Undercover is back on.
Yeah, they got Martin on Prime.
I ain't nobody
now.
Checking for Martin.
No, York, I watch Martin.
Martin's never
all
been
the time.
Off, is what I'm saying.
That's
New
true.
York Undercover came back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
Okay. JC and Torres are wrecking shop.
Ashley Lip and all. But today we're talking about retirement.
We are.
On this idea of what does retirement mean to you, right? So what we find is that for some people it means not needing to work. For some it means just not working.
And so, yeah, that just is some, like, the liberty. Like, for a lot of people, they talk about financial freedom. When we think about retirement, it's the freedom that, listen, I've done enough. I have enough set aside. I've invested enough that I don't actually have to work. Mm-hmm. I can. I choose to at my own liberty. Mm-hmm. But I've got the money that I need to be able to live the life that I want for the rest of my years.
Yeah.
That is a form of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Working part-time. A lot of people have really great skills. And they love parts of their job. And so maybe retirement for you is, y'all ain't gonna have me working all the time. I'm not coming in here every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll come in here a couple days a week.
If I feel like it.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I still get to use my resources. But I want more of my own personal time.
Mm-hmm.
That's retirement for some people. Switching careers.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are like, I just hate this job. I wish I could do something else. You know, I want to do another thing. I think I've talked to you about a couple of my retirement plans.
Yeah,
what
you
that
said
looks
you
like.
Want to have a florist with a strip club in the back.
Not a strip club in the back.
Oh, in the front.
Listen, no strip club.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I would like to hope I'm not attending strip clubs in my retirement. But
you never know.
I do know. And I'm not going.
Just saying.
A florist.
Mm-hmm.
I also told you about a bakery that mm-hmm. I've considered, a cheesecake-focused bakery called Sweet Cheeses.
Mm.
Yeah,
somebody's
we talked about
this.
Somebody's
about to take that one.
I don't care.
Yeah, yours will be
better. I've never made a cheesecake in my life, so I don't even know if that's for me.
Yeah.
Maybe I was supposed to sew that into somebody else.
Mm,
I don't even eat dairy, so let's start there.
It's a good name, though.
Sweet Cheese, right?
Yeah, it's a good name.
So maybe it's just the name. But either way.
Could be starting a business.
Starting a business, switching careers altogether. What if you've always been an artist?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's really leaving this other job, this corporate job, and becoming a full-time artist.
Yeah, that'd be a
or
great
musician in some capacity. Just changing careers.
Rapper.
Not a rapper. Let me tell you something.
Maybe.
If you,
just saying.
If the plan is to retire from your real job and to become a rapper.
Never know.
Change the plan. That is not going to work.
All right. Can I just say this though?
If you are about to confess that it's a plan for you to become a rapper.
I'm just saying there could be a genre that doesn't exist yet.
Not
that
rapping.
You could fall
That's
into.
What I'm saying. I'm fine with all the other genres. Don't be rap adjacent.
New old school jazz based rap hasn't even come out yet. But it could be a thing.
That's neo-soul.
That someone working with the rap, though.
No.
There's someone that's working right now.
Y'all got to leave rap where it's at.
Okay.
Okay? For our listeners, anybody older than Alan got to let rap go.
Jay-Z?
I'm saying to start. You can't start now.
Okay.
If you're already in it, I'm perfectly fine with that. You can't start now. You got to go ahead.
Yeah, we'll see.
Become a pastor.
Passion projects could include whatever. All right.
Sure.
So the biggest thing that keeps coming back and everything that you're saying, Tiffany, it's about time.
The freedom of time.
It's not the money, it's the time. Mm-hmm. There are so many people who've never had complete control over their time before.
Yeah.
They've never had a chance to pursue their bucket list items. They've never had a chance to pursue whatever passion they've had in mind that they always wanted to get to. And now that retirement for them may mean reclaiming the time to devote to those things.
There you go.
So let's talk about the retirement equation, right? So there are things that you control and there are things that you can't control.
Right. And this is all going into your strategy for being able to retire in whatever capacity works for you. So here are the things that you have absolutely no control over when it comes to planning for retirement.
The market. You don't know what the market's going to do. Like, you think over time, and I believe over time, if you give your investments enough time, they will go up. But from 1 year to the next, you really have no clue what the market's going to do. That's the first thing. The second thing you have no control over at all is the government, like tax policy, when they change the ages on things. Like, that's something that you read about and it impacts you, but you've got absolutely no control over.
Very true.
There are things you have a little bit
of... Just a little bit of control over. Not full control.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of control, right? Like life expectancy.
We've got some control
over that. You have some control over that. And what I mean is, yes, I know the Lord only knows the day and the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But your arteries and your cholesterol levels are also something that is giving you an indication of which direction you could be moving in.
That's true.
So if you are living a healthier life, maybe adopting better habits for yourself, you are trying to extend the longevity of your life, mm-hmm. versus saying, damn that, it's a bottle of Hennessy every day for me.
And some sweet cheeses every day.
Every single day. You are having some level of control over your life expectancy.
Yeah. You've got some control, but not complete control over your career and your earnings.
Yes.
When I say not complete, like there could be a massive layoff. There could be an industry that you're working in that goes through a major change. Like, imagine people that worked in the auto industry. A lot of folks are not in that industry anymore, and their skills are a little bit outdated.
Yeah, and I think we're speaking to people who are employed and people who are entrepreneurs, right? Like, you don't have complete control. None of us really have control over our income. If we did, we would just run it up. You know what I mean? Like, it's based off of how many customers you have. It's based off of what your job is offering, promotions, opportunities. So we've got a little bit of control over the income that we bring in, but not a ton.
Facts. And then there's some things you've got 100%
total control,
complete control over.
100% control. First of all, you're saving and you're spending. That's mm-hmm. all you.
Yeah, that's
you might feel like you're out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You might feel like everybody else has control over your saving and spending. But if you get diligent, if you get disciplined, and if you work with someone to help you put you on track, you have control over whether you're going to put that money aside, whether you're going to spend every dollar, whether you have to have all the things, whether you're going to run up an expensive credit card or not. These are things that you do have control over.
Also, in retirement, you've got control over those things.
Very true.
Meaning, like, you're setting yourself up for a quality of life right now. And if it's an expensive quality of life, it just means that retirement's going to be expensive, which means you've got to save more money, which brings us to the next point. Saving. You've got control over how much money you save.
100%. Also, one thing that you do have control over, we talked about you don't have control over the market, but you do have control over whether you're diversified, what your asset allocation and location looks like.
Absolutely. And speaking of asset location, we should talk about that. Because I think for a lot of folks, Tiffany, they assume the only way to save for retirement is in a retirement plan.
But no, I don't even give it that, right? Like, because I definitely think, like, there's older people who are like, listen, I got money in the bank. I got some CDs. I got a little money in the Bible. And I got something under the bed for a rainy day. Mm. We got that group, right? We have the group who's just like, I put my money in my retirement. You know what I mean? Like, I put a little money away every pay period mm-hmm. in my retirement plan. Then there are other people who've got a lot of different things happening. They've got brokerage accounts, IRAs,
401ks. What's their name?
Investment properties.
Send me their email.
All types of things. So which is the right way? Here are the locations of where your money should go when you are planning for retirement.
Yeah, because everybody needs multiple locations. Like, if you're relying only on your 401k, I think you're making a mistake. The reason why you need multiple locations, number one, each location has different tax treatment. Each location has a different purpose. Like some locations are for healthcare costs later on in life. Some locations are for your early retirement, right? If you've got all your money in a 401k that you can't touch until you're 59 and a half without tax consequences. What happens if your feet hurt and you want to retire at 55? Where's that money coming from? So here are some of the buckets that you really need to fill up. First, fill up that 401k at work.
For sure. So whatever your retirement plan is at work, it might not be a 401k, it might be a 403b, but whatever it is that your job offers, that's the thing that you need to be maxing out on and taking full advantage of as much as possible.
Yeah, maxing out is over $20,000 a year. Like that's maxing out.
Yeah, and maxing out is not matching what your employer puts in if there is a match, right? Or saying, I don't put money into my retirement plan because there isn't a match. One wow. thing has nothing to do with nothing the other.
So instead you spend the money?
Yeah, so instead I don't want to have any money saved because they ain't going to give me no money.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's make it make sense here. Mm. So the first thing that you want to focus on when we are planning for retirement is maxing out on your retirement plan. And if you're not in a position to do that yet, that's just the goal. That's the goal that we want to be able to get to.
Facts. Like the goal is to have all of these accounts filled up.
Yes.
The taxable brokerage account is the most slept on account out there. This is just like a regular checking account that you can buy stocks with. Right? There's no real tax breaks on this account, but there's no maximum on how much you can put in. There's no penalty on taking money out.
You also have more control over how you're invested in this account, right?
Like, absolutely.
So when you're with your retirement account, you have typically, when you're with an employer, you have specific options and that's mm-hmm. just kind of it.
20 funds.
Right. But when you have one of these brokerage accounts, as Alan mentioned, you can put in as much money as you want. Again, there's no tax benefit or no tax break, but you can put in as much money as you want and you can invest how you want with as much as you want.
Facts. Next, a Roth account. That's if you've got the income that will allow for a Roth account. Or if not, then a traditional IRA account. This is additional money that has additional tax benefits that also needs to be filled up.
Yeah, so oftentimes people are like, listen, I'm trying to avoid paying taxes. We're trying to dodge, do all types of crazy things, find offshore accounts. You ain't never left your state, but you want an offshore account. Listen, there are other ways to do this legally. It's through different types of accounts, right? So like a Roth account or some sort of IRA. There are major tax benefits in the growth that happens inside those accounts. Now, you can't just flood them with tons of money. There's rules around it. But honestly, it's really a useful tool to get you towards retirement.
And then finally, the second most slept on account is the health savings account. The health savings account is kind of like a Roth IRA for healthcare expenses.
Now, for people who are like, where do I get a health savings account? Your HR department, right? Like if your employer provides it, with, I feel like a lot of employers still do provide it. Just go to your HR and ask if this is an option for you guys. It probably came in your onboarding packet when you started the job 15 years ago.
It's in a drawer somewhere.
It's in a drawer somewhere. They probably have a meeting every year. You don't pay it no mind because you can't stand this job.
Yeah.
But just make an appointment with HR and ask, do you guys offer some sort of health savings account?
The health savings account is one where the investments can grow and there's no taxes as long as you use the money for healthcare expenses. And there's not like a use it or lose it this year. Like you can use it 30 years from now, you can use it to pay for your nursing home one day. So again, that healthcare savings account is one that needs to be filled up. It also has the benefit of it changes when you turn 65. Once you're 65, you can take money out for non-healthcare reasons. It's like a regular IRA at that point. So this is another account that's really slept on.
So we are talking about retirement. Like we're trying to plan through it, all the things you need to focus on. We're going to give you very clear, deliverable.
Very clear.
Information and steps to get it done.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no excuse from this point. Now you might need an expert or someone else to come in and help you work on the numbers, you know, what you should be doing, what your projections are and things of that nature. And we can always do that. If you want to reach out to us at momentum-advisors.com, go to the contact page and schedule a complimentary consultation. But even if it's not us, we're giving you enough of the tools and steps for you to be able to know what to do next. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hi, This is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
We are back.
Yeah. And before we get into the content,
okay,
we got to first of all acknowledge that last week marked the death, the 25th anniversary of the death of the greatest rapper ever live, Biggie Smalls.
Yeah.
The Notorious B.I.G.
The Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah. And one of his songs, The Ten Commandments, he talked about a step-by-step booklet for you
first
to get.
First of all, don't try to scheme back the Ten Crack Commandments.
Yeah, well,
let's.
There are kids listening.
Right, the Ten Crack Commandments.
It's a step-by-step booklet for you to get your game on track, not your wig pushed back. Okay? So we should give our 10, actually it's 9, we should give our 9 retirement commandments.
Okay.
These are the steps for which account to fund, because you've got competing interests, competing goals. You've got to worry about emergencies. You've got to worry about debts.
Yeah, and we get a lot of people who are really want to be diligent. They really want to do the right thing, but they're like, listen, I only got this much money. I only have a certain amount of money. Where do you want me to put it? Tell me what to do with it, and that's what I'll do. Because so many people are, I got to pay off these student loans. Mm. That is not where the money should go.
Yeah, not first.
No, not first. Mm-hmm. Or they're, you know, rushing to pay off their house just for a feel-good moment. And I get it, but there is a priority. There's a way that you should go about doing those things that you probably don't know, and we're about to tell you right now.
Yeah, because everybody needs a plan. Everybody, you got to do all the things.
You have to do all the things.
You just don't have to do them all at once. So the first thing that you've got to do, this is step one, emergency savings. You got to build up at least 3 months to a year worth of monthly expenses.
The reason why you have to do this, and for a lot of people, they're like, listen, I don't want to focus on the savings. I need to focus on things that are going to get me some sort of return. You will never be able to invest money long term if you do not have money set aside for emergencies and accidents.
Yeah.
You will constantly be pulling your money out of the market at inopportune times and creating a taxable moment. The reason why you need to have emergency savings is so that the money that you invest can always be left alone.
Love it. Love it. So the second thing is you've got to take advantage of your employer matches. Now, again, we don't want to stop here, but you've got to start taking advantage of those matches. So some people's jobs have an employer match on their 401k contributions or their 403b contributions. Some people's jobs also have a match on their HSA, their health savings account. And so that's the next step. So steps 2 and 3 is contribute enough to get that match, because that match is like 100% rate of return.
And that's free money.
That's free.
So wherever the free money resides is where you need to go next.
Yeah, so that's 2 and 3. So step 4, now you want to start focusing on some of those high interest debts.
Yeah, and so that's when we start paying off the credit cards. If you have a student loan that has a high interest rate, like over 6%, then yeah, we're going to consider that something that you need to focus on. If you have any loans that have an interest rate of 4% or lower, that's not really a major priority.
Not right now.
Because what we're focusing on is how much you're paying for every dollar that you've spent.
Yeah.
Right? And with these credit cards, you're paying 20 to 22%.
39%.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You have to pay that off. That's money that's supposed to be in your pocket that's being taken from you for something that you purchased however long ago. So paying down all high interest loans.
Yeah.
The benefit of that, if you do this right, it's one and done, right? Not pay it off and run it back up.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Pay it off. It's going to hurt. It probably requires a lot of sacrifice. Get it done. And now all that money that you were used to paying towards your credit card debt can go into all these other places that we're talking about. One and done. Let's focus really hard on paying them off, and then we can move on.
Yeah. And think of your return on investment on paying off a credit card as the interest rate. So if your interest rate is 29%, you just made an investment with a guaranteed rate of return of 29%. And I'll tell you, there is no stock in the world that can guarantee you're going to get a 29% rate of return. So step 5 and 6, let's go back to those employer plans. We already started with just enough to make the match. Now we want to try to max out on those plans. Again, for a 401k or a 403b or a 457, why are all these numbers start with 4? I don't know. But let's max them out. That's 20,000 plus if you're under 50. If you're over 50, they let you put in another 5 or 6K. So you want to be maxing out both your 401k plan and also your health savings account. Put in the max that you're allowed to put in. Those are steps 5 and 6.
Now we can focus on all these other loans, right? The loans that just bother you on the inside.
Yeah.
Your regular student loan, your mortgage, if that's a goal to pay off your mortgage in a particular amount of time. If these things are goals for you, that's what you should focus on now. After we've done all these other things.
Step 7. Not 1.
Right. Step 7, after we've maxed out, taking care of all the high interest credit card debt, have an emergency savings. If you want to, because this is not, to me, this is an optional step, pay down the rest of your loans.
Yeah. And I will say optional because some of these loans are going to get paid off over time anyway.
Exactly.
Why rush? Because again, if my interest rate is only 3.5%, that's my rate of return on paying it off. Like, I would do better to put money into an investment account
where you might get 7% return.
Facts. Like for me, like I'm not one of these people who feels like I need to be completely free of my mortgage. I'd rather put money into investments, right? So I'm not one of these people in my personal life who's in a huge rush to pay off his mortgage because I know that's my least rate of return. It's my lowest rate of return.
And while I joke around about student loans, so here, I'm only in a rush for somebody else to pay off my student loans.
Oh my God. And that person is Joe R. Biden?
Right.
Yeah, it's not
Moneybag Joe.
Not gonna happen.
Or Kamala. I am not in a rush to pay off my student loans myself.
Yeah, what if Trump wants to pay him off? Does he have your vote?
My vote? Well, y'all have to vote. No, I have to vote for you to pay off my student loans. That one doesn't have anything to do with the other.
If you elect me, I'll...
Nah. Again, I don't have no problem paying my student loans, and I'm not in a rush to pay off my student... As an individual, I'm not in a rush to pay off my student loan, but I am in a rush for somebody else, a government agency, reparation field type of situation to pay off my
reparation
student loan.
Field.
So for me, this is an optional step that I'm not in a... I don't have any intention on paying these things down because the interest rate is so low.
That sounds like, you know, like you're trying to describe like a vacation destination. Come here for the reparation feel.
Listen, just something that just giving me what I deserve. That's all. What I've been missing.
I've never heard reparation feel till today, but I'm loving that. I'm loving that. So here's the final 2 steps. Now you want to focus on that IRA account. This is step 8. You've already maxed out what you can put away for your employer plan. You've also maxed out your health savings account. Everyone should then look at an IRA account, either a Roth or a traditional. If you can't do a Roth because you make too much money, then do a traditional IRA.
And for people who are unclear about how to go about doing this, you can just do one online, walk into your bank and ask them, hey, can I open an IRA account? But again, you can just do this online. This is not complicated. Don't make this more difficult.
Yeah. And then the final step is now fill up your brokerage account.
That
brokerage account is a... That's a sweet,
that's
sexy
my one.
Option.
I hate that it's step 9.
Yeah.
Because that's my favorite one.
We're going to get to you, though.
Because that's where you really get the ball out. That's where you
shining.
Get to do big things.
Look at you.
You know what I mean? Move things around, make decisions on how you're invested. You know, I don't want to invest in that anymore. That's where, to me, a lot of the major growth can happen, where you can take more risks. You take more risks in your brokerage account than you can in any of your retirement vehicles, your traditional retirement vehicles.
Yeah, and the brokerage account, that's your early retirement fund, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that's where you build up the forget you money.
What's that?
Like forget you job.
Oh, okay.
I don't got to come to work because I can retire whenever I want.
With the brokerage account.
I don't got to wait till 59 and a half. I've got a brokerage account.
Word.
You feel me?
Yeah, and even if it's not about risk, that's the I'm a travel the world account.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's no penalty for taking money out of your brokerage account whenever you want to. Again, there's a tax consequence.
A little bit of taxes. That's
all right. But here's the thing. There's only a tax consequence if you make money.
Yeah.
So we can only complain but so much. If you make a lot of money, then yeah, you're going to have to pay a lot of taxes. But I'm not mad that I made a lot of money.
Yeah. Can I brag on this brokerage account a little bit? Because I think the brokerage account gets swept aside because it doesn't say retirement on it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't say we got tax benefits. Can I brag on this account for a minute? So your brokerage account, for one, it has a tax deferred nature to it. Meaning like if I bought a stock 10 years ago and I still hold it today, and that stock, imagine that stock is a Facebook that's growing but doesn't pay any dividends. I've never paid a dollar in tax. Like, it's grown. I haven't paid any taxes because I haven't sold the stock. So the brokerage account has a little bit of a tax deferral in the sense that you don't get charged taxes until you sell. And then to Tiffany's point, and if you lost money on an investment, you don't pay any tax at all on that. And you can use those losses to offset some of the gains.
But that's why we do prefer the IRA. That's why the IRA comes first.
Yeah.
Because the IRA...
you get a tax break.
That tax break on the IRA. To me, that's the sexiest one out.
Yeah, I'm going with the brokerage account. Let me keep bragging on the brokerage account. So taxes are deferred in the brokerage account.
Until you need to spend the money.
Of course. Next, the taxes are lower in the brokerage account than in the IRA account. Like when you start taking money out of the IRA, that's when the IRA gets you, right? Like the IRA is going to hit you for ordinary income tax rates when you take the money out.
Very true.
Ordinary income tax rate can go up to 40%. You add, and that's just federal, right? And so 20% is the max that you're going to pay on the taxes on gains in your brokerage account. And then the final aspect of the brokerage account, again, this is my boo right here. This is why it's so sexy. There's no max on how much you could put in.
Yes, I appreciate that. But there are... let's focus on the accounts where I can put the money in and I don't have any capital gains tax.
That's the Roth.
That's the Roth.
That's the baddest one out. She got a perfect
shape. The name is a little whack.
It's named after the man who invented it. He's a congressman.
Yeah, but Roth doesn't sound as sexy. You know what I mean?
What would have been a better congressman or congresswoman to invent that account? What name would you go with?
That just feels a little bit sexier.
Yeah, a little sexier.
Seth.
Seth?
I like Seth's.
Seth?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like you have a lisp and you're saying sex.
No, it doesn't.
I want some Seth tonight. Nah.
Mm-mm. No, I like Seth.
I'm going to go with Bianca.
Bianca sounds dumb. Bianca sounds like she doesn't have a brain.
But she's, you know. Mm-mm. Come on. All right.
So Luther. Malcolm. I like a little Malcolm. I don't know. These are all options. But again,
Suarez.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all.
Suarez.
I don't even know.
Retirement account.
Nope. Not a Suarez.
Okay, fine.
No. But with the Roth account, you put in your money after paying taxes on it already, right?
And you're good.
And then you're good no matter how much money you make in that account.
Yeah.
When you need to spend it, no taxes paid on it.
Lord, that is a sweet account.
That is, when y'all are like, how do I get out of not paying taxes? That's it right there.
That's it.
Put the money in a Roth account.
Yeah, and that is step number 8 on our list.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, fill it up.
So we've given you the 9 retirement commandments.
Yeah.
That is the priority in which you should allocate your money and set your goals up.
Yeah. Strong word called consignment. For live men, not for freshmen.
Okay.
That's biggie. I could give you all.
Listen. The thing is, it just doesn't feel biggie-ish when you say it.
Oh my gosh. That's
the problem. You know what I mean? It's not giving biggie. It's giving like Nick Cannon.
Oh my God. All right, let's move on because this ain't.
I'm just saying.
Nah, I don't know.
I'm sure that Biggie appreciates you reciting his lines, but it's not hitting the way that it should.
Well, first of all, I'm a financial advisor. Okay. I'm for the culture, though.
That's word. And that's what matters.
They appreciate
it. That's what matters.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about a lot of the steps. There's some decisions to make. Again, we talked about what you can control, what you can't control. One of the biggest things that you control is how much you contribute and when you get started. The sooner you start, the better off you're going to be. You've heard that a million times.
Yes.
And the more you contribute, the better off you're going to be.
You know what this made me think of?
What's that?
Let's Get It Started. Do you remember that song with MC Hammer? I don't know what you were about to sing.
I'm thinking of the current Let's Get It Started.
I don't even know.
Let's Get It Started.
Well, I don't even, oh, with Fergie?
Yeah, I'm thinking of that one.
MC Hammer. Let's Get It Started. Oh, you don't remember this video? This video was fire.
Okay. Can I make a true confession?
If you're going to say you've never heard of this song.
No, may I make a true
confession? Go for it.
Real hip hop heads from that era.
Real hip hop heads.
We didn't mess with MC Hammer like that.
Yes, y'all did.
No, we didn't.
Everybody messed with MC Hammer. I don't care.
Once Pumps in a Bump came out.
Pumps in a Bump.
That was it.
Listen.
That was the original,
like Luke, like that was the inspiration for all this Back That Up from Juvenile. Like Pumps in a Bump had to happen. Pumps in a Bump had to walk so Juvenile could fly.
Oh my God.
If y'all don't see that, then I don't know how we how you're even listening.
So, for Trick Daddy and them to fly. So MC Hammer is Martin Luther King in this example?
I don't see what the issue. I'm just gonna say it. And if you don't like it, turn the podcast off. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If you don't like it, hit me up on Twitter at Momentum Advice. We could fight. From the bottom of my heart.
Oh my God.
I genuinely believe that MC Hammer was the original Beyonce. Here's the thing. MC Hammer.
Do you hear those crickets?
I don't care. And ain't nothing wrong with crickets. MC Hammer was groundbreaking on dance and production from a performance perspective in the music industry. Nobody was giving it up like Hammer was giving it up with these full teams and productions. There wouldn't have been no Beyonce Coachella, okay, if it wasn't Oaktown 357. It's a lot. If you just think about, for people who think I'm bugging, just go on YouTube, right? MC Hammer performances where he had hundreds of people performing behind him. Everybody was dancing mad hard. I'm just saying Beyonce wouldn't be here.
Hold on.
But we're if it wasn't for MC Hammer.
We're getting a phone call in from the estate of Michael Jackson, who has something to say.
Yeah, that happened.
I think Michael Jackson might have been the original Beyonce and MC Hammer.
All right.
And then I think James Brown's estate might be ringing us.
MC Hammer has always said he was completely inspired by James Brown. He's always said that. That was his, he has James Brown in some of his videos and productions to pay homage to him. I'm going to just keep it a buck. I don't really... Michael Jackson did his thing.
Yeah, and MC Hammer, he's like Nick Cannon.
He's definitely not like Nick Cannon.
I don't know why we're talking about Nick Cannon today.
He's definitely not like Nick Cannon. So maybe it's MC Hammer and Michael Jackson that got us Beyonce.
I will concede that point.
Okay.
Once you threw MJ in, I won't bring up Prince, but let's go on. So In Your Control, how much you contribute when you get started. I want to give you three quick examples, right? So we're going to give the example of three employees who all start at the same
Y'all going to love these employees.
They all started on the same exact day. They graduated from the same school. They started at 25 years old. They retired at 65 years old. Their starting salary originally was $50,000, which is a respectable salary for starting out, of course.
For sure.
And every year, they got about 6% as a rate of return on their investment. And they also got a raise every year of about 2% and some change, right? This is how much money they end up with. First, we have Stubborn Sarah.
And I think that she should be Stubborn Shauna.
Okay.
I don't know no Sarahs. Shauna.
That's true. I don't know too many.
You know a Shauna somewhere.
I do know Shauna.
Stubborn ass Shauna.
Okay. So first, we got Stubborn Shauna. She was like, you know what? I don't know about this 401k.
I'm spending my money elsewhere. Okay. I'm not about to be giving my money to this job because that's how people see it for some reason. I'm not about to be giving my money to this job.
Yeah. So Stubborn Shauna, even though there was a 5% match, Shorty only put up 3% because she needed her money.
Right. I got other things to do.
Stubborn Shauna ends up with about $720,000.
When it's time for retirement.
Not bad.
Yeah. So, yeah. So she's, again, contributed 3% of her pay starting at age 25, retiring at age 65. And so she ends up with $720,000.
Okay. So now let me take you to my man, Escalating Ethan.
Okay, Ethan. I like Ethan. I like a sexy name. I like Ethan. I don't know any Ethans, though.
You know any black Ethans?
I don't know any Ethans.
Ethans, period. Mm-mm. I know Ethans.
I know Irvings with an E. I know an Irving.
All right, let's call him Irving.
Okay, then. Escalating Irving.
Okay. Now, what about Errol?
Because I know Errols. I know an Errol very well.
All right. We'll go escalating Irving.
Where does Errol even come from? Who? What does that derive from?
I think it's a country Earl, I think.
Earl. So it was supposed to be Earl, yeah. But they was so country it came out as Errol.
Errol, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So we got escalating Irvin, who also started at the same job at the same time, and he was like aspiring to come up. So he started out, he used to date Shauna. So initially his rate was 3% that he was putting in.
Because he was just doing what his girl was doing.
But he had ambition.
Because once they broke up, he realized she wasn't on the right path.
This week it's the shakes, next week it's the fries. Okay. You see what I'm saying? So every year, Irving increased his percent by 1% every year. So he started out contributing 3%. Next year, he's contributing 4%. He kept going until he got up to 10% as his 401k contribution percentage.
I like Irving.
When he retired, $1.6 million.
Okay.
He had more than double what trifling Shauna had.
She's trying to holler now.
At $700K.
She heard that he was putting in more money. And now in retirement, she's trying to get on.
You see, now he's a high-value man.
Because she got $720,000 in retirement.
I hate that word, high-value man, but let's go on. Okay. So then finally, we've got Super Sam.
Mm-hmm. Okay? I don't want Sam. I don't want Sam.
Okay.
I don't like the Sam.
Big shout to Andrea Gray, one of our advisors, who calls Super Sam Super Samantha.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Super Samantha.
Samantha's about her business.
Yes. I like Super Samantha.
Samantha knew from day one.
She was about that action.
Yeah.
She had goals.
She came in from day one, 10%, and stayed at 10%.
Never wavered.
She never took a loan. She just kept on contributing. Guess how much Sam has?
In retirement, Samantha has?
$1.8 million. She's outdone Irving and Shauna.
Right. We don't even know Shauna no more.
Yeah.
But what we're saying is when you're thinking about contributing and what these contributions look like, it's not always about how much money you're making. It really is about the percentage that you're contributing. And I know that you have bills and you have expenses, but as we mentioned earlier, these are all things that you do have control over. If you need to cut back on your expenses so that you are able to contribute to your retirement, you can now see the gains in the long run. And we are only talking about one step, right? This is just what we're talking about in your retirement plan. Now, say you actually have one of these IRAs or a brokerage account or this Roth situation where you don't have to pay no taxes, right? We're just talking about one account.
Yeah. And you could walk away with millions having not made a lot of cash.
Right. Because think about this. We talked about percentages. We didn't say a particular dollar amount that they were putting in, but this is over the course of 40 years, from age 25 to age 65. There's a guarantee that over this period of time, they receive promotions and increases in income. Which means you're making more money, which means now there is a little bit of extra money out there. That's not for you to spend. That's for you to now put in these brokerage accounts, put in these other IRAs, in this Roth account.
Absolutely. And I want to give a shout to my man Irving for a minute. Like, Irving started off wrong, but he caught up. Like, this idea of increasing your percentage every year until you can get to that 10% number is a great idea. It just shows that you can catch up. Like, Irving is right behind Samantha.
Yeah.
Irving is almost there, even though he was backsliding in the beginning.
For a little bit.
And I think anybody listening can catch up.
So we are talking about retirement. We're giving you all the steps that you need. We have more steps. Stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's needed to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
We are back.
Yes.
Talking about retirement.
MC Hammer.
MC Hammer, the 10 Crack Commandments. We're all over the place.
Yeah.
But it's all relevant. It's all useful. If your name is Shauna, don't be offended. Okay, we don't know you personally.
You're not trifling.
You're not trifling.
Unless you're only at 3%.
Listen, even if you're at 3%, honestly, it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
So if maybe you started at 0% and you had to work your way up to 3%, that's improvement, and we're not mad at you.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about ridiculous Ricky, who puts in Ramon. $50 a check. We ain't talk about him.
And there are people like that. There are people that reach out to us and they're like, listen, I contribute $100 a pay period to my retirement. And no shade, you know, you just, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just not going to happen for you.
Leaving money on the table, growth on the table.
Yeah, that's not going to get you anywhere.
You're not going to have the forget you money.
Not when you started at 60.
Yeah.
That's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah. And then the dating pool's slim for ridiculous Ricky. That's all I'm saying.
It depends. It depends. Because I feel like, you know, older age dating, it's probably spicy. It's probably spicier than we think it is. You don't lose. You know what I mean? If you about that action, you don't lose it because you're getting older. You might move slower, but you still about that action at 65 years old.
All right. Maybe Ricky ain't so ridiculous.
He might have other resources and skills.
You see what I'm saying?
That'll get him to pay the bills.
All right. So other things that are in your control. When do I retire?
Yes.
This is like one of the secrets of retirement planning that like people don't realize is so much in their control. People often arbitrarily come up with an age when they want to be out without figuring out if they can afford to do it or not. And if you are behind, if you're starting late, if you really want to live an extravagant retirement, the secret is just work a little longer.
Yeah, you gotta tweak these numbers, right? So the 3% or the 10% might have to be 12%, or again, you might have to be really stacking in this brokerage account. We did a podcast episode a very long time ago called FIRE, Financially Independent Retiring Early.
Sure did.
The full strategy to retire dumb early, not like in your 50s, but like in your 30s, right? And it's just, the plan is the same. It's just tweaking the numbers.
Yeah, that's a fact. So this number, you have a lot of control over, right? And so the interesting thing about retirement is that there are some conflicting statistics about retirement in terms of the age. On average, if you polled 100,000 people, and we read a report where they did exactly that, the average age where people thought they would retire was 65, but in reality, they retired at 62.
Yeah, and that's just being fed up. Yeah, life, being fed up, wanting to spend more time with family, your body just isn't the same. And so you don't have the capacity to just be standing around or whatever your job requires anymore. So you might not make it till 65 just out of sheer will.
Or there could be some stuff out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
A company downsizing.
COVID.
Having to leave the workforce to care for a family member. Your skills being outdated. You've got some control over that, but you might be caught up in that. And maybe there's no market for your skills anymore.
Very true.
So what I'm saying is, so on average, there's a lot of folks who end up retiring earlier than they planned. But also, would you believe, and I had to look at this stat like two or three times, almost 40% of our current workforce today is over the age of 65.
Wow.
It's like 36 or 37% of our current workforce is over 65.
And I take that to mean a couple of different things, though. I don't know. I believe that a good portion of those people are people who didn't prepare for retirement.
Or some people that want to stay active. Like they may have been retired for 10 years and were like, yo, I can't watch that much Good Times.
Good Times.
And Sanford and Son.
If you're retired, you shouldn't be watching Good Times. I'm going to just say
I watch Good Times.
In retirement, you shouldn't be watching Good Times because the times were not actually good. And in retirement, you should be watching The Jeffersons. You should be moving on up.
Yeah.
Okay. Good Times is depressing. I feel like.
To you.
Who was it not depressing to?
Yes, it was
comical. Y'all think that because it was funny, everything else was cool. That they ain't had no money, that they was all broke.
Right. Here's what
Penny
I get.
Penny was getting hit with that iron.
Hold on. Here's what I get when I watch Good Times.
Please.
Okay. I get hope. They were always hopeful. They were always
James died.
Just listen, they were hopeful.
Of
if you really think about it, every episode, even though they were just getting their backs kicked in constantly, they were hopeful of a better tomorrow. And I believe that hope is the most powerful human emotion there is. And so when I watch Good Times, I get hope. Now look, if you fast forward to the end and you see that they ever made it out.
Beat by her husband.
I know,
the
but
father
they had
died.
Hope. They had hope.
Nah, you need to, what's happening? Raj and them. Raj had they grew up, they got married, rerun like that's hope. I don't know. Good Times, there wasn't no hope. There was plenty of show. Family Matters.
Hold on. Listen,
the greatest glow up of our time was Stefan Urkel. If that didn't give you hope that you could be whatever you wanted to be in life, you could get whatever girl you wanted to get, live the dream. I didn't see the hope in Good Times. There were several other shows that provided the hope.
I'm going to give you some elements of hope from Good Times. Okay. You've got JJ, who had this artistic talent that ultimately landed him his own company. And when that failed, he landed himself a great job as a ad executive. A lot of hope could have sprung from that. You got Michael, the militant midget, who is a potential superstar college graduate.
Potential.
Graduate of a business school
superstar.
Or a professor somewhere. You got fine Thelma, who could
was
come
getting
up.
Beat. She was getting beat.
Thelma was not getting
beat. Well, did she have an abusive husband?
No, no, no. Her husband was not abusive. He just
was mean.
He was in the NFL and then he tripped
and
at their wedding.
He became an alcoholic.
He just tripped and then he lost his NFL career.
And then
but they had hope, is what I'm saying.
He was mean as hell.
He wasn't mean. No, no.
He was became like an alcoholic.
Thelma's husband was nice.
Nah.
Yeah. You don't watch the show.
I don't.
So you don't know.
Nah. I don't. I know it ain't work out. I know the father died.
Why
and like I, and the point that you just love to glaze over is why James left the show. He is
you don't
on,
know that
he said himself.
While you're watching the show, you don't know that.
For sure. But we know better
now. You just
now.
Know damn, and, damn, damn.
Exactly. Exactly. He said the reason why he left the show is because he was consistently complaining about how there was no upward mobility in the sitcom. In their storyline, he was tired of just portraying a black family getting beat down. And they were like, we ain't trying to hear all that. And that's why they removed him from it. He was complaining too much about, can you just show us doing better? And they were like, hell no.
But they were keeping their head above water.
Keeping your head above water.
Making our way and we can't. Temporary layer. It was a temporary layer. It didn't even last. Okay.
How do your theme song say?
All right. So we got to wrap this thing up.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, you've got to decide what kind of retirement you want for yourself. I'll give you four outcomes of retirement. And the things that we don't know about, also longevity. You know what I'm saying? Like with regards to longevity, people are living on average a lot longer than they expect.
And but yes, people are living longer than they expect, but they're not necessarily in good health in those later years. So you
facts.
Have to be mindful of that 100%. When thinking about healthcare.
100%. If you're a 65-year-old woman today, you have about a 30% chance of living to age 95 or longer.
Oh, I like that.
And so when you're doing your math, when you and your financial advisor are sitting down, you need to stretch that spreadsheet out a little bit to account for the fact that you could live longer than you expect. And to Tiffany's point, the end of life is more expensive than the beginning of retirement because now you've got healthcare considerations that you never thought of. And if you're a man, that stat is 20%. 20% of 65-year-old men today are going to be past 95 years
y'all
old.
Living fast.
And so we got to do some planning. So the final thing we'll talk about is what does success look like? So when you're sitting down and you're doing your projections, there's really only four outcomes to retirement. Outcome number one.
You spend all the money. All the money's gone.
And some people want that.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey famously said, I want to spend all of it. My kids ain't getting anything
from me. Did Steve Harvey say that?
He absolutely
said
that.
I need to hear. First of all, I think it might have been a joke. That might have been a part of a skit.
Now, Steve has plenty of money.
But Steve Harvey spends that. Steve Harvey and Marjorie. They spend money so eloquently. Marjorie knows how to spend a dollar. If you're going to spend it like Marjorie Harvey. So he might be telling the truth because he spends his money now with his children also. I believe that what he might be saying is we are going to enjoy this money together while I'm here together, for his entire family.
Meaning me and my wife.
Not them kids. Lori and all them.
He has said, like, look, I've done enough for my kids. This ain't our money. This is my money.
Okay.
And I've worked hard for it, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Spending it.
Okay. Another outcome, I'm going to spend some of the principal down. So if I retired with $1.8 million, I want to die with $300K because I want to spend some of that money down so that I can enjoy myself.
I'm not mad at
the
that.
Way I wasn't able to enjoy myself.
At least you have
life.
It to spend. I'm not mad at that.
Another outcome of retirement is to simply preserve your wealth.
Yeah.
So you retire with 1.8. Your goal is to leave 1.8 to your kids.
And that means that you are spending
just your growth.
Just your growth.
That's it.
And the growth on 1.8 is a nice number.
Yeah, that's a good amount of growth. You can live very quite finely.
Yeah, absolutely.
On 1.8. And then the final one, and this is not for everybody, but some people have the retirement goal of creating a larger portfolio than what they had when they retired. So if I retired with 1.8, but they want to leave $10 million to the family.
Yeah.
And that's possible.
Very possible.
It's just based on these decisions that you make.
And time.
And at the end of the day, if you don't know how to figure these things out for yourself, this is where a financial advisor comes in. This is where those online calculators come in. If you want to, hit us up, momentum-advisors.com. We'll spend a little bit of time with you walking through these things, just helping making sure that you're good, no cost.
Well, we're done for the day.
Yeah.
Plenty of information. We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Momentum. Momentum.